The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. From the farm in Illinois all the way to Washington, D.C. is our next guest. Congresswoman Mary Miller has an agricultural background, but she's also a champion for family values. And her work in Washington, D.C. caught my attention. And this is an individual and a leader that I think you all need to know. So I'm excited to finally sit down with Congresswoman and have a great discussion about what's going on in Washington, D.C. So, Mary, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, we kind of connected over a mutual friend, Chris Earle. He's an Illinois cattle guy as well. And so I guess maybe just to kick off the show, tell us a little bit about your background in agriculture and how you landed in Washington, D.C.
Well, sure. So my husband and I have been farming for 45 years. And we do row crop farming, corn and soybeans. And then we have a cow-calf operation and a small beef business. And we are conservation farmers. So we do no-till and cover crops and all that kind of, not because the government tells us to do it, but because we want to be good stewards of our land. And actually, our oldest son is doing a lot of the work today. And he's totally in love with the soil. He loves to talk about the soil. But so I raised 7 children. And I homeschooled them, home educated them. And afterward, I had someone approach me. His name is Bill Montgomery. He's the one that actually got Charlie Kirk started with Turning Point USA. I don't know if you or the listeners know, but I recommend that y'all go to those podcasts and listen to them. But anyway, he wanted me to run for Congress. And I was a little taken aback. And I said to him, well, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a politician. And he said, Mary, we need you. He said, you represent the family and the family is the foundation of our culture and you represent agriculture and that's the foundation of our economy. And I said, you're right. Okay. So I ran and here I am today and I'm on the ag committee. I serve on education and workforce and also I'm on the admin committee. I'm very excited. That's my new committee. We're going to be working on election integrity. And then I started the Congressional Family Caucus to stand up for all things family because our country was founded on faith and family. And I want to do everything possible to rebuild that.
Wonderful. And so you are back in DC, ready to get to work. And right before the recording started, you were sharing some exciting news from President Trump that was just announced. Can you kind of bring us up to speed on that?
Sure. Every day, President Trump 2.0, he's continuing with his promise keeping. And he said he was going to defund Planned Parenthood. And today he made first big steps to do that. So I'm very excited about that. Tomorrow, I'm going to be introducing a bill to define male and female. I know it's absurd that we have to do that, but we want to codify President Trump's executive orders into law so that for the listeners, maybe that don't understand, when he issues an executive order, that is only good until the next president would undo it. So we want to make sure we put that into law. And then on Thursday, I'm going to be introducing Keeping Our Girls Safe Act, which will defund schools from federal money that are not abiding by President Trump's executive order to keep males out of the girls' locker rooms and private spaces. So,
isn't it amazing that we've gotten here as a society? Yes. I write children's books and I go into all kinds of schools across the country. And I didn't really believe the hype until I actually saw the litter boxes in some of these school bathrooms and the furry kids. And like, there's a lot of dysfunction in the world. As a faithful person, sometimes I think, like, is it a symptom of society kind of going away from the faith? And is there solutions that can come out of Washington, D.C. to kind of turn this tide back around?
Well, absolutely. I think it's because we took God out of our institutions and our society, took him out of school. We tried to take him out of government. And we need to bring God back into our schools. And, you know, I support school choice. I think if we want good schools, let people go where the schools are giving them what they want. I think the government's role is to give us the freedom as Christians to impact the culture. So the government can only do so much, and President Trump is doing a great job, but it's the role of the church and believers to be bold and to, you know, engage the next generation with Christian ideals and biblical principles.
Now, you're kind of in the viper's den a little bit in D.C. How does that Christian message resonate in kind of this environment that you find yourself in today?
Well, there's a lot of God talk, and even from the other side, but like the scriptures say, a tree is known by its fruit. And I judge a politician by the policies that they promote and vote for. The God talk is okay, but sometimes when it comes down to implementing policies that are based on our Constitution, Judeo-Christian values, or the Bible, then you start maybe getting into issues. But by and large, the Republican Party stands for life, parental rights, freedom of choice with schools, school choice. They stand against transgendering or mutilating our kids, and definitely stand for God's design is that we should work and be productive. So I think President Trump's doing great things. You know, if a community or family isn't going to thrive if it's not productive. So one of his great accomplishments from his first term, and he's, you know, going at it again, is to deregulate so that we can be free to be productive. And I think in agriculture, we've seen that excessive regulation really hurts the small and medium-sized producer or farm and can drive them out of business because they can't afford all these ridiculous regulations.
Right. You mentioned God's design. And one of the things that's really bothered me that I've been fighting is these Green New Deal policies that really go against God's design for nature and how he created this world that we live in. Can you talk, I know you've been very active and vocal on solar panels and some of these alternative energy initiatives. Can you talk a little bit about your position there and the work you're doing in DC in that front?
Sure. I've been very outspoken about this. It's a sham. The whole climate change is a sham. First of all, God controls the climate because he controls the sun, and the sun controls the weather primarily. Carbon, I don't know whose silly idea it was to come up, you know, to decide to demonize carbon, CO2. I tell people, and I'm sure people in agriculture agree and understand, that CO2 is a miracle molecule that greens the earth. And I think it's 0.03% of the atmosphere. And humans, they claim, are responsible for like 6% of that 0.03%. I mean, it's so minuscule. And not only that, they ignore the fact that the atmosphere is in cycle. And so, you know, China opens up a coal-fired plant, I think, 2 a week. So the whole thing is ridiculous, but the people behind the agenda are becoming wildly enriched. And not only that, they're using this to really put their thumb on production and to control people. And yes, solar panels is a tragedy. And thankfully, I want to tell everybody, President Trump hates solar panels. Wait, let me correct myself. Chinese solar panels and Chinese windmills covering our land. And it's such a tragedy where we are. It is the best. So, I mean, maybe you want to disagree different places, but in central Illinois, we believe it's some of the best soil in the world, black flat. We get plenty of rain and they are covering it with tens of thousands of acres of subsidized Chinese solar panels that produce energy that is neither efficient or reliable. And, right. you know, I'm all for defunding and getting that money back and, you know, stopping that. It's not green. And the other day we got a farm magazine came to our house. I was so mad. The front page showed a farmer in front of solar panels. The headline said sun farming.
Wow. Wow.
I say, follow the money and you will learn a
lot. Well, you might be interested to know our USDA gave Farm Journal $40 million to promote some of these sustainable initiatives. And so I want to call Doge on that one. But it's interesting because even people are surprised, like in South Dakota, where I'm from, like these rhinos have realized how much money is involved with these climate initiatives. And so they're trying to like reshape it, or they'll say, we know that this is, you know, bogus science, but there's so much money there. And what they're not saying is it's taxpayer dollars. And we are heavily subsidizing these things. It's just interesting to see kind of that reframing when both sides of the aisle are figuring out, well, there's just a ton of money to grab for something that's really built on the premise of a lie. And I appreciate what you had said about your farm doing some of these regenerative practices, not because the government's paying you to, but because it's the right thing to do. And I've always said, like, farmers and ranchers have been the original environmentalists and conservationists since the beginning. And it's just interesting to see how the Biden administration shifted things to where we're prioritizing things that there's nothing new under the sun. This is what we've always done.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
I know you've also been active on protecting America's farmland against the Chinese, against foreign ownership. Can we speak a little bit on that and where we're at as a nation on kind of getting those foreign actors out of here?
This is another absurd thing that's going on. I do want to go back to the solar panel, though. Okay. I had a great conversation with Secretary Rollins about it. She wants to come and view some of these solar, quote, farms that are 4,000 acres or whatever by me. Yeah. She's on board with us. She thinks it's absurd to cover our fertile farm ground with that. And also, the other thing is it's helping China conquer the world. And so, yeah, the carbon capture and all that, it's... Well, we're talking about Chinese buying our farm ground. Can you imagine during the Cold War if we would have allowed Russia to come in here and buy up a bunch of our farm ground?
Right.
So absurd.
Right.
So there's a lot of bills out there, and we are going to stop it. President Trump's on it, Secretary Rollins. The fact that we've allowed this to happen, so much damage has been done to our country. But President Trump surrounded himself with a wonderful cabinet, and I was so impressed. I got to have a face-to-face with Secretary Rollins. I was very impressed with her. She really wants the best for our ag community. The other thing about, I want to go back to the solar panels, and it's all of this is driving consolidation in the ag industry. So like in Illinois, the people now that have the money to go outbid their neighbors when farm ground comes up for sale or to outrent them are the people that are bellied up to the solar panels. And it's so bad. And, you know, even the letting China buy up our farm ground. It's driving up, you know, prices of farmland, and it's just very bad for the family farm and production and for our food supply.
Absolutely. I mean, we're losing thousands of family farms each and every year in this country, and seeing this consolidation happen. And of course, we're cattle people, so you could relate to this, but it's mind-boggling to me that 85% of our meat supply is held captive by four major packers, and two of them are foreign owned. And even in South Dakota, we've got Smithfield Foods just an hour from me, and that's owned by China. And it's like, it puts the United States in a very vulnerable position of, if we don't have these America first policies, our food is foreign controlled. Like, is there discussions on that of maybe addressing the monopolization in our food supply, or how, I guess, could you see us fixing or addressing that?
There are a lot of, and people are becoming more and more aware of, you know, the protein processing being controlled by four big companies. But I think there again, overregulation drives consolidation. I know a year ago, the Biden EPA or one of his administrations was trying to impose a new regulation on the processors of how they were going to have to dispose of their wastewater. They were going to have to hook up to city wastewater or something. And I had a processor call us and they said, we will be out of business because we won't be able to afford to do that. So I think we throw around the word deregulation, but the impact of it is so substantial, and it will make it, you know, make us more able to let small and medium-sized companies thrive and get started.
So let's talk a little bit about anything that is happening to kind of box out the CCP. I know we've kind of bounced around between that and solar panels. So is there anything else you wanted to add on that topic?
Well, we'll be, President Trump and Secretary Rawlins are going to be taking action on that. And also we're going to be voting on a bill to prohibit that. But they've also been buying up farm ground around some of our military sites, which is so crazy. So one of the first things we need to do is to find out who actually owns the land, because they hide who they are. They buy them under shell companies or whatever. And so you have to kind of dig down to find out who actually has purchased this property. And I don't even think the federal government knows how much land hostile foreign countries actually own. So that's the first thing we need to do.
So the hunt is on, I guess, to find that information and then put America first, maybe, for once. So that's, it's exciting though. I mean, I feel like the narrative coming out of DC is that we are going to start putting Americans first. And I keep thinking there might be some growing pains with this, even in the agricultural community, there's going to be some birthing pains, but good things I think are coming. I know another topic that might be on the list of things on your radar would be the country of origin labeling, or some truth in labeling in the beef industry. What are your thoughts on that? Or where are things sitting in DC on that fight?
There's not as much support for that. And I don't know, you know, who these people are getting money from possibly, or why they wouldn't support that. But your shirt, if it came from wherever, it's labeled where it comes from. And everything except pork and beef are labeled. And Americans want to know where their food's coming from. And, you know, it would help our producers thrive if the country of origin labeling was brought back. I know we never did better in our cattle operation than when we had country of origin labeling. So I completely support it. And I don't know why people wouldn't support it.
Right. Well, I do know, just studying the cattlemen's groups that exist, the different associations that are lobbying in DC, it's like they're very polarized on their positions on that. And so I think it's just a matter of who is congressman's ear. But I really think kind of my message to the audience.
Pocketbook.
Or that, yes. But I think the message to producers is that are listening to this show is, you know, no lobbying group, no association is going to fight harder for these issues than you. Like, your story is powerful. And I guess that might be a question for you. How can folks really reach you, really reach the people in DC? Is it worth their time to fly out, or is it going to fall on deaf ears? Emails, calls, what's the most effective way to reach someone in your position?
That's a great question. We really pay attention to the contacts that we're getting, either people coming into the office or emails phone calls. We watch our phones. We want to know what people are saying. And I do encourage people to come and visit their member, or they could go make a list of everybody that's on the ag committee and try to get an appointment with them and just tell them that they want to come in and inform them of, you know, what the issues are from a producer standpoint. Very important. Yes.
Wonderful. So, and as you may know, in South Dakota, we've been fighting this carbon pipeline, and we just passed a bill that would eliminate eminent domain for carbon sequestration pipelines, which has kind of gotten nationwide attention. But everyone in South Dakota, I guess there's been a coalition of producers that had just went to DC to kind of lobby on this issue. But everybody's kind of, number one, wondering what Trump's position is on carbon pipelines. And number two, I know there's a bill that's come out with Representative Perry that would eliminate the 45Q tax credits that are kind of funding this whole boondoggle. Right. So I guess it's a two-part question. I guess what information would you have for the folks in South Dakota and the surrounding states that are being impacted by this Green New Deal project?
So I do support Congressman Perry's bill, and I think we should stop the tax credits for this. The people that I talk to in my district, they do not want that pipeline going through. They think there's safety concerns. They don't appreciate the prospect of it being run through using eminent domain to get that land. Last week, I met with some people. It was kind of scary because they said they only need an acre to put a well in. And I could just see like some person having a trailer on an acre, and they think, wow, this is a windfall for me. Right. And they do that. President Trump's a businessman. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to fall for it. Mm-hmm. He does have a lot of people in his circle, but I think we should be loud about it. We should message to him, to the people on the Ag Committee, that we don't want it.
Okay. Well, you guys heard that here first. It's it's going to take everybody kind of using their voices and making that lift and that appeal to President Trump to get the right message to his desk.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
So I guess what else is on the agenda now that you're back in DC, ready to hit the ground running?
Well, I think a lot of this is still in the ag realm, but I think some of these things with solar panels and carbon capture, what's happening is the farmers are vulnerable because they're just hanging on by a thread. Mm-hmm. And so we need to pass policies, which here, your listeners need to be engaging with us as lawmakers on what would help the American producer and the family farm to thrive. Obviously, mm-hmm. we need better and more aggressive trade policies. And I think President Trump wants to stand up for Americans getting taken advantage of on the world stage in light of bad trade policies. He is aware that the tariffs could hurt, you know, farmers. He's aware of it. And I think he cares deeply. And he said something in the State of the Union that there might be some short-term pain to get long-term gain. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it would help if we had policies that encourage more diversification on our farms. Mm-hmm. It used, you know, because like we have grain and cattle. Now cattle's high and grain's low. And I think that that would help the American producer also.
Absolutely. Well, my straight corn and soybean guys aren't going to like this, but you had mentioned like the fertile ground in Illinois and uh-huh. in South Dakota, I'm prairie land and it gets yeah. dry here and it's rolling hills. And yet because subsidies have so heavily skewed towards corn, uh-huh. this marginal ground in South Dakota that never should have been torn up has been torn up for corn, where it's like, it should be on yeah. those most fertile grounds and right. places like this should still hold space for ruminant animals like sheep and cattle. Mm-hmm. And so I agree. It's like yeah. the government has picked winners and losers in agriculture. And then there's been this whole downstream effect of, well, it's taken livestock producers mm-hmm. off the land. And now we have the lowest beef herd we've had since right. 1952. And even now I look at like our rivers, our river intake, like our flooding is up 200% in the last 20 years. And it's because there's no longer that grass mm-hmm. to capture that rainfall. And so mm-hmm. to me, it's like, there's these unintended consequences when the government gets involved yes. and starts. So I guess, like I said, there's going to be like a mob at my door mm-hmm. now talking about like getting rid of subsidies. But at the same time, I guess, how could we create policy that would encourage diversification mm-hmm. to come back again in agriculture? Because truly how yeah. grandpa did it made sense economically and as a steward of the land too.
Well, for one thing, we're importing, I believe last year, it was either 3 or 4 billion pounds of hamburger we are right. importing. We should be producing our own hamburger. We don't right. need to import it. And if Americans got to choose and it was, you know, this is from Brazil or Paraguay or the U.S., they're going to choose the U.S. So right there, right. that would help it. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of countries are subsidizing their agriculture. And then, you know, we kind of get into the situation where competitively, you know, on the world market, we kind of are forced to subsidize agriculture, but we should want it to stand on its own feet. You know, I think better trade, more diversity in what we produce, country mm-hmm. of origin, less regulation, taxation policies that make it easier to pass a family farm on, but also inflation is killing our producers. And it's driven by two things. And it's energy policy, because I think everything goes back to energy, and mm-hmm. then government spending. So we need to get the inflation tamped down. But right. there's a lot of great things going on. President Trump wants school choice. He wants the money to follow the child. And I do too. I think it will make our education better for our children. I support local control of schools and that the schools answer to the parents. So ultimately, parental control of our children. I reintroduced it. It's called the Screen Act, and it's going to require companies that are producing explicit materials to use age identification technology so that our children cannot log on to this trash that's basically a rot to the soul of our nation. I reintroduced that with Senator Lee from Utah. So a lot of great things going on.
Yeah, great things for parents, for kids, for mm-hmm. families, and rural communities, really. It's yes. it's an exciting time. And yes. I'm just so thankful for all the work that you're doing. And I know you've gotten pushback in some of these things before, because it's yeah. like, especially not like in previous term, where it's like uh-huh. you have these Democrats that are coming down on you pretty hard for
yes.
promoting family values. Right. So I guess, how do you stay strong in the face of that kind of negativity or pushback on what you believe in?
Well, first of all, I'm a Christian. So when I came out here on my first term, my kind of key verse was out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul said, we make it our aim to please him, as in God. And then he went on to say, knowing that we're going to give an account for what we've done in our bodies, whether for good or for evil. So, you know, that's my accountability thing ultimately. But also, I care deeply, and I believe President Trump does too, about what we're leaving the next generation. Happy news here. My husband and I are expecting our 22nd grandchild.
Wow.
And our children, your children, our children, everybody's, they're the hope of our nation. And we, you know, we're saddling them with this debt. It's just such a, going to be such a burden to them. And I don't think Americans understand how grave of a situation our country is in light of the debt. And President mm-hmm. Trump's been handed a mess, whether it's the border, China, and other foreign adversaries getting a foothold in all of our institutions, and this crushing debt. I think we're at $34 trillion right now. And just mm-hmm. to service it for the next 10 years at the interest rates now will cost another $100 trillion, which is our entire gross domestic product. So wow. we have to make changes. And what Elon's doing and the brilliant people that are working with him is so marvelous. This is like unprecedented that we are going to hopefully shrink the government and uncover waste, fraud, and abuse and, you know, deregulate so we can get productive. I do want to tell everybody though, because the Democrats are flat out lying, nobody that is legitimately receiving, in other words, they're not dead, but they're getting Social Security, yeah. Medicaid, Medicare, or their children are getting money for disabilities. Not a dime is going to be cut from that. We are trying to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse so that these programs will work for the American people. And they are just completely lying about that and trying to gaslight. But they have nothing. Their platform is so anti-American. And, you know, they don't have anything to stand on. So,
right. Just to be negative. It's like you're yeah. watching a meltdown about the Department of Education decision that President Trump just made. And it's like, well, the DOE isn't educated in a single child. And so I love right. this pushback to like letting the states do their jobs and do it well. And I'm even seeing in South Dakota, like some of these initiatives are coming to the state where it's like, we want accountability with our politicians. Yes. We want our DOGE style audits
right.
of our government spending. And so I think it's just going to be an avalanche effect of good things, but it's going to take people getting active and getting engaged and kind of making this movement even bigger than what President Trump can do on his own. So I guess, Congresswoman, any parting words? Where can folks follow you? Any additional information okay. that they can have where they could follow some of these bills that you're working on and championing for?
Well, they could go to Rep. Mary Miller, and they can follow me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram for that matter. But I just want to encourage everybody to be happy warriors, our conservative ideas to stand up for the family and be productive. They are biblical. They're the best. It's what our country was founded on. And just be informed and get engaged and yeah, be hopeful.
Yeah, be hopeful. Yes, our mutual friend Chris Earle tells me that often. Find joy even in the suffering of it all, because it's yeah. it's a worthwhile pursuit to be a part of something good and noble and true. Well, I wish there was many more elected officials and public servants just like you, Congresswoman, that were fearless in their faith and their commitment to family and serving others. And I just want to thank you for everything you're doing for this country of ours.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, take care, and hopefully we'll see you sometime soon in real life, okay. maybe at a cattle sale or maybe in Washington, okay. D.C.
That'd
right.
be great. Bye, Amanda.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.